23. I'll give you a corrected address, but you have a fire in a one story. Ordinary. Looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125. Get your traffic control. Squad 5, squad 5. Angle to 273, 273. Angle Battalion 18, 18 Battalion. With the 273, 273.
Good evening and welcome into Engine Output Talk Radio on Gaston County Training. I'm Gary Graff. Tonight, a couple of things. Real unique. A couple of guys that were going to join in were on duty. We're still waiting for a few of them. A couple of them got moved before they called in. For conversation, wait around. Kind of some things with tactics. How you train upon those tactics, utilize those. Tactics within your organization. When we start talking about some of those things, you know, it's every place is a little bit different. Tactics may vary. You know, we all have the same mission in mind, but your tactics may vary based upon how much manpower do you have, what is the amount of equipment that you have on a certain alarm assignment, what are the available resources, and a lot of it depends upon what you have available within your community, within your response area, and again, those resources. Also, some of that's going to change upon what's the area you're protecting. Maybe your primary single-family residential, multifamily residential, maybe you have some low-rise, high-rise. Everything makes a difference as far as what your tactics, what your setup are, whether you be on an engine or on a truck. And within that, part of the discussion is so we understand what needs to be done as far as our tactics, our deployment models, on those types of things. How do you train your people for that? How do you take that thing for them? Really get them to understand what the model of that response may be based upon whether it be where you arrive upon the incident. If you don't run as many incidents, but within that, to still be able to accommodate that through training. A lot of things that we don't have with an incident can make with training. So make sure that we're getting our people out there and showing them. But sometimes within our training, are we able to actually model what it is that we're trying to accomplish on the fire ground related tasks, our engine company, or fire ground related tasking and or tactics that we're trying to accomplish? So kind of while we're waiting for a few others to get going, then I'll give an example of a couple of things that you know, we're kind of going through within my organization, changing from a model that used to be kind of an old school style tactic of confirm working fire, everything is laid in, first in, whatever it is, everything's laid in with the everything going from water supply into fire pit. So it's we had some guys that really have drilled into their heads over. Time that catch a water source is the way in. Now, again, we're changing the tactics to need to get the first engine to the incident. Start doing initial fire attack, like whatever civics in there. We need to get, you know, that quick initial size up, maybe even some, depending upon the deployment or where we are at within our location of our district. We might have multiple engines that are coming out of limited manpower. So within those, you know, we're not getting a lot of help on. So getting that additional manpower up there to be able to assist in that, maybe even that second, and then maybe third, fourth, working, establishing water supply. Now, with part of that being said, the majority of our engines are 1,000 gallons. Even our ladder carries a significant amount of water, so we've got some time to work on that. Getting that first initial line going, getting the tactic is how do you instill a new thought or a new tactic or a new idea into somebody based upon time that they have for training, based upon the time that they have, maybe the time that they work under the old tactic, and it's kind of a hard transition to be able to get into. But between classroom time, maybe working on things with some simulations that I'm going through, walking through as far as arrival of companies and the order of the arrival of companies and getting that drilled into people so they can start seeing the benefits of it. But sometimes that's a difficult one to down or to be able to go through and change somebody's mindset. The other thing you have to be able to do is the way those companies are deployed when they arrive on the scene. So we were talking, mentioned earlier that the as we're arriving on the scene, first arriving, concentrate a little bit more on water supply. We're trying to get away from that. And that second is getting that truck as close as you can to me so that you can utilize the people you need, but the different ground ladders. A very limited number of ladders in our apparatus. You know, but with the closer, so we have that other resources for that. Another thing within that that becomes a training issue is also the communication. Okay. So we have to be able to communicate back on arriving units to additional arriving units as far as making sure that they're clear on the assignment or even having set up procedures on how that's supposed to be an organization. I shouldn't have to tell you this is what you need to do as you arrive on the campus. You should be able to determine that. So when we start talking about certain things and training within the tactic, how can we train somebody to better understand the model that we're looking for? Even within that, you know, numerous times on here, we've talked about, everybody on here talks about things with hose line. I can do practices within the hose line to get you out of the point, whether it be you run, if you have a designated truck, it's just so you're in gym based upon their level of arrival. They're going to be doing those truck-related tasks. So getting companies to where they truly understand what it is that they have to do are opening up the building, providing a little bit of overhaul, providing a little bit of salvage work in the building. Oh, and even more importantly than those, performing a search, doing a primary, doing a secondary, that you're coming through, so, you know, maybe it's all the same. What your task is, for that particular type of structure or that particular. Even with that, we talk about different deployment models and as they relate to training-related topics. One of the things with it, if you're establishing the training with your crew or with your company, you know, do something that creates a challenge. You know, we know that, hey, we want to get in, whether it be all the way down. A lot of times, one of the trainings that we don't talk as much about, maybe something with a pump operator. Talk a lot on hose lines. Talk a lot on flow, talk a lot on pressures. But what are we doing to make sure that that pump operator flows to the capabilities of their truck, of their pump, of what their supply line to provide them? But they have a very robust water system. You know, a lot of times that's not an issue. If you're working on something that has supply water, maybe hauled water, or limited supply water, or maybe hauled water, maybe water supply is an issue. If you have limited pressures and flows off of your hydrant, what are you doing to compensate for that to be able to do your water supply? Do your pump operators truly understand pressures, pump discharge pressures, pressures at the end of the nozzle to be able to provide the flow? What are your setups on your apparatus? Do you have the same type of nozzle, same type of hose? Makes it easy on the pump operator. I know within our area we're starting to see more and more that are running a split on their pre-connected lines. They only have one pre-connected line with a solid bore, one that's fog disc. I get a disadvantage of that. Again, it makes it a little bit more difficult for the pump operator. One, he's going to have to gate based upon what the flow is, or the fire flow, or the required flow of that. So, again, adding another complicated level into that. What's your nozzle pressure? You're using a combination nozzle on that. Is, let's say you have a combination nozzles of 1/16 60 at 50, and your other one is 7/8 smoothbore. At least they have the same nozzle pressure, the same flow, so you can't get the same. So look at those things, and the disadvantage to it is I understand that a lot of that has some monetary value with it, and a lot of times it's difficult to go to your chief or your VC or whoever it is that you report to and say, well, we need a nozzle to eliminate the confusion. I get it. Sometimes there's nothing necessary to do it, but as you're placing those things, you kind of take a broader look at what you're doing with the nozzle. Going on my organization, just the same thing with the nozzle replacement. We had some nozzles that were in 8 of them. We started doing some flow tests. Some of our older nozzles, we weren't getting near the flow. But we also found that some of our newer nozzles we weren't. Some of them that were kind of in the middle were actually some of our most efficient nozzles, most accurate on the flow based upon pump discharge pressure and nozzle pressure. So if you have the resources, you have the capability to check those. Because as we're initiating tactics on an incident, especially whenever we start talking about hose line deployment, make sure that we're flowing what it is that we think we're flowing out of the end of that line. The other thing with that, while we're talking water flow within our tactics, let's look at some things that are associated with our 2.5, if you get that gun, portable monitor. We just recently started using the Elkhart, the Ram XD monitors. Again, great tool, a lot of water deployment. One of the things you got to keep in mind with it, again, first guy, there's a lot of guys who went and hooked up 2.5 line. Got the double tips on it, so on our smaller line, it's an inch and 3/8 tip. So within that, we had to change our line loops with it. So something a little bit bigger than our 2.5 to be able to supply it, be able to get our fire flow so we can go a longer distance to stretch 250 feet to it. And the thing with that, and what we talked about, things with tactics, we have to make sure within that line that it's set up for easy deployment, but also so we can get to where we need to use it. We can get to the rear of the building. We can get some of what we have on our residential building. We don't have significant setbacks, but other places that have apartment complexes where we might have 250 to 300 feet to get around to the rear of our building, but we have significant fire that to address the concern. So as you're setting up these things, you have to add your tasks, make sure you're setting up for success. Conversation we had, change it, we talked about things with flows and handlines. Another conversation we had just last night, we were talking about some things with multifamily and ladder deployments. A lot of times whenever you get your truck, depending upon whether it be pumpers or your engines, depending upon how your ladders are set up. If you have a side ladder rack, look at how that is set up. A lot of times you have the extension ladder to the rear, the roof ladder to the outside. What ladder do you need more? Why can't you flip those? Put the roof ladder to the inside, put the extension ladder to the outside. So if you have something that's an upper level, you're taking the ladder that has the most reach with it. You're not having to take one off the truck and then grab the other one and take it to where you need it. Look at success based on tactics. Again, one of those things a lot of times it's more difficult to initiate those changes. There's a lot of resistance sometimes. And the majority of the time, you see that the resistance that knows and initiating some of those things, they're also the same guys that you don't see that are going out practicing the same task. The guys as well, why do we got to change this? Because they're realizing you're changing your tools, you're changing your setups, you're changing your ladder placement, that they're going to have to go out and practice that and be proficient at. It's going to be different than what they originally have been taught, or they've focused into their muscle memory, and it's being more work on them so they don't. So a lot of the resistance, and don't let that change, or don't let that reflect what you might be able to do. Initiate some change to better how you're going to deploy even within that, we start talking about him setting up tools and kind of being newer and younger people out there. This is one. Find somebody who's a senior guy, or find somebody who's, you know, really into the job or into hand tools. A lot of your hand tools don't become a one tool person. Well, every time I take this, take as many tools as you can carry. Learn how to carry your tools. Yep. Carry your Halligan to your roof hook, maybe your striking tool, whatever it is to carry, a flathead axe, a ball, a pick, whatever it is. Learn how to marry all of those together. You can carry all of those with one hand. If you have a saw that has a sling, saw, you still have an open hand. Whatever it is that you take, take as many tools as you can and take them with you. You don't want to be running back to your truck to be able to grab whatever tool it is that you might need. One of the things that, you know, I'm sure our organization has different than a lot of other ones that are out there, but again, we don't staff separate engines and trucks. So it might be similar to riding unit on an incident. You might be on an engine, but you might be assigned truck. So you have the tools there to do the job. The only thing that you may not have is a ladder on top of the truck. An aerial on top of your apparatus, but you still have the tools to be able to be capable of it. Even with that open hand that you have, maybe take a couple of tarps with you. That's one of the things that, in my opinion, sometimes we don't concentrate as much on some of the salvage aspects of what we could. Again, I'm not saying to delay fire attack or to delay cutting off of the fire, making a hole where you can initiate the fire attack, but we need to make sure that we try to save as much as property as what we can on some of the items. If it takes you 20 seconds to throw a tarp over the top of something that's there that maybe has some pictures or something that has the best on somebody that we shouldn't stand for, that 20 seconds sometimes is not going to slow down dropping your ceiling or poke your ceiling or looking for some hidden fires. Remember one fire that went a few years ago. Somebody actually had the forethought that they were, the fire was in a back bedroom. Actually, it extended into the attic a little bit. And as they're coming down the hallway, they noticed a number of pictures that were on the wall in the hallway. One gentleman had taken a whole handful of pictures, threw them into a bathroom and closed the door, put them into a protective area. And again, it's all stuff by the end of the incident. Had those pictures hanging on the wall of that hall, they would have all been lost. By the end of the incident, there was probably 25% of the roof that had burned off of the house that we were at for the incident. The family could have cared less about that. They were ecstatic whenever we came out of pictures of, you know, family events, the wedding, another one, that, you know, the grandma that had passed away. Those are the things that, again, we start talking about PR and what the occupants appreciate for what we do. Those are some of those things. So think within that whenever you start talking about tactics. A lot of those little things only take a couple of seconds to get to accomplish and to complete as treated. So, like I said before, we're not delaying fire attack or we're not delaying a search or anything to do it. But one person towards the end of a hose line, as you, once you shove some hose down the hall for that novel person, while you're standing there, grab a couple of those things. Take your open your grab a tarp, take it up to the building, take it with you. So within that, and I think we're going to be a little bit short tonight because a couple of the guys that we're going to jump on here, guys have a couple of they have got some runs and they're being a little bit busy. But one of the last things that I'll finish up with, and we will revisit this topic after the first of the year whenever we come back on. But like we were talking about earlier, training, especially if you have a new person, trying to train them so they understand different tactics and how the tasks are associated with the tactics. One of the things to do is go out and don't just go through the motions with the training. Say, okay, cool one. Go in some place and find some difficult farm. Cool. Make them actually understand how the line how the format of that line needs to work. If, you know, maybe drop a bigger company, drop a person. If you don't have a bigger company,
the same thing.
You have to do this by yourself because that may be what you encounter. The same thing, whatever, earlier we were talking about, longer stretch to the Charlie side of a building. You know, practice that. Find some place to practice that. Firehouse, Vista Bands, a lot of times we do park lot drills at the firehouse. Not as realistic because we're not going around in the back. We're dragging across the concrete, we're dragging across the grass. There's no bushes, there's no obstruction. Even your apartment building. Well, what's your apartment building? How difficult is it? You know, some of these stretch like the courtyard. Maybe if cars parked all the way across the front, and whenever you pull up with your engine and stop, your hose is going to deploy, and there's cars right there. So you got to work around cars, you have to work around stairs, getting up to the building. So, work around if we had where it is. Just find those buildings that you can point out, especially to the newer person, find the building where you can point out and say, hey, this here, this is going to be a more difficult stretch, and this is why. Put it in the back of their head so that they kind of remember that. They may never run or work fire within that building or within there, but it gives them the opportunity to kind of get through. And then whenever you're drilling on that, create some problems. So the biggest part of that with that is the problem solving. You know, we can stretch lines all day long. Stretch is fine and there's no problem. We've learned something. We've learned how to develop that cognitive skill, but without creating a problem in there, deploy it, we stretch it, and we flow water, and hey, it all works, and then all of a sudden we get on an incident, kind of problem. We haven't developed a problem-solving technique within ourselves, so all of a sudden there's a problem, and then that's whenever we start to kind of get flustered and start to kind of lose our shit. That problem-solving part of that algorithm we've developed within ourselves of deploying a line and deploying a ladder, forcing a door, whatever the skill is that we're trying to perform, even doing a search, you know, and search setup for practicing a similar environment of what we're going to actually be searching in. So within everything that we do, practicing tasks that accommodate our tactics. We want to make sure that we're putting something there to solve a problem, to create a problem, make it as realistic as possible. So numerous times whenever we've talked about things about search on, we've talked about use real people whenever we're doing a search drill, where you go through and you actually find a real person, use a real person. You want to be careful if you're doing something onto a ladder, an elevated platform. You want to have them tied off. You don't want to be throwing people haphazardly out of the second story window if they're not used to it. But we can practice these things on the low prop. Get a low prop, 8-foot ladder. You can practice all day long putting a real person out that window, loading them onto somebody onto a ladder, building center, helping them develop that problem solving within that skill. And make them more proficient in what they are, or what they do, or what they need to do. So come up with ways to do it. But with that, a lot of that goes back to whoever's putting on that training, whoever's hosting that. It's going to be a little bit more work, but I promise in the end, the extra work will pay off. Not only for yourself, but who it is that you're putting your training on for, your rookie, or your crew, or your company, your station, or whatever your environment may be. It'll benefit all of you in the long run. One of the last things that I have, and we'll, again, be a little bit short tonight, but we'll close out. Biggest thing with any of it, as we talked about with the problem solving, is go out and do something. Whether it be practicing putting your pack on the truck, practicing putting your pack on, coming off the truck fully equipped, all of your tools. You'll even find out within your tools, you see people, this is something that, again, I have found is going wrong. There was things that were always in my way. whether it be a mass came on or the way I carry the tech or maybe a flashlight. Anytime you try to do something, you're swinging a tool or doing a strike or something like that, something always got in your way. As soon as that flips up and gets in your way, it distracts you and it doesn't work out right. Something feels uncomfortable because sometimes we train without having those things there, without having those distractions that are in our way. Find a place that's comfortable for you. Saying, if this worked for me, this didn't work for you, but find what works here. I used to have an issue with my gloves. I kept my pocket. I keep a strap just over the backside of my left hip. Again, kept off my chest. I used to carry my mask that was mounted off of my chest all the time. Now it's in a bag, attached to a strap. It's on the front side of my right hip. Doesn't affect my crawl, doesn't affect when I'm crawling like a slide or a cramp crawl, but it doesn't affect me in that. It doesn't affect whenever I walk or I move or I carry or do anything. It's out of the way, it's down lower. Radio, it's on the rear right side of my hip. So moving those things off my chest, it made it more comfortable for me to be able to use my tool. So if you have something on you, you start carrying something, a particular thing, or it's distracting you, or it's making you improficient in the skill, or go out and put your gear on. Just something that's doing it, simple as doing a drill, put your gear on, put your PA on, finding how those things ride on you and how they fit on you, and find a better place to carry them or wear them. By doing that, you'll actually make everything a little bit better on how you wear your equipment, but find what works for you and make it more comfortable for you. Just because it works for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So practice, even with your something simple, just to see CBA. That's what I've got for tonight. Again, apologize for the short information tonight. Hopefully you got a couple of tips and a few things out of it. We'll come back right after the first of the year, hopefully on our next night. We won't have as many guys on duty. And if they are, hopefully they won't be as busy, and we'll come back and get some more thoughts and more insight on with tactics and tasks and how we train to make ourselves more proficient and increasing the proficiency of our company and the bottom line, making our service better for the citizens. So with that, we have the in-house training. I'm Jared Graff. Thanks. Catch you next time. Stay safe.